the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Clotto and David Dawson. Happy Monday, guys.
Happy Monday, indeed.
Yeah, big day today
for those
who are excited about eclipses, right?
Yeah,
also Solemnity of the Annunciation.
But, it's cloudy out there.
A lot going on.
It is.
We'll get into that in a minute, but it is the Solemnity of the Annunciation. And the day was actually supposed to be March 25th, but because it was the Monday of Holy Week, they pushed it back or transplanted it to today, so April 8th.
So we just celebrate. Keep feasting. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. It's the Feast of Easter. Yeah. It's the Feast of the Annunciation.
That's what you meant. Yes. Okay.
That is what we do.
I don't think we ever stop in South Louisiana.
Of course, it doesn't matter, Damien, because we're all going to die anyway, according to everything that's been posted out there because of the eclipse. Apparently, it's going to kill us, unless you're not in the path. I don't know.
I've not read that, but that's okay. We're going to pray to our Mother. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. We pray, O Lord, as once you came to dwell in Mary, that you come today to live among us. For you alone are the way, the truth, and the true life. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Excuse me.
Amen. Well, we have a wonderful lineup for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area we will give you details about at 10 after. You can find all of these events and so much more at our website at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Alan Migliorato joins us. He's a co-author of many books, but one of our favorites, Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And on Mondays, he joins us to talk about raising Catholic teens in today's world. In 35 minutes, Dr. Tina Holland joins us. She is the president over at Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University in Baton Rouge, also known as FRANU. She'll be giving us an update. And in 48 minutes, Theoni Bell joins us. She's a co-author of the book called Jelly Bean, A Baby's Journey to God. So an emotional interview, but I think one that a lot of people can relate to. She's going to be talking about this book that brings a lot of healing to families and couples. So looking forward to having that conversation with Theoni. And Damien, it's not the apocalypse, it's an eclipse. I'm excited about it. Even if it's going to be cloudy, it's still something cool to be participating in. So how does today look like?
Well, there's a good chance you won't see it, but that's okay if you live in Baton Rouge and the North Shore especially, because right around 12 or 1 o'clock, we're going to be getting rain. And the problem with that is the peak of the eclipse in our area is at 1:48. And it starts around 12:30, just as the rain is coming into our area. Now, those of you maybe along the Mississippi-Alabama coastline, you might be okay, depending on the cloud coverage. But overall, it's going to be a little rough for the folks in Baton Rouge to see the eclipse today. 87% chance. There's an 87% total eclipse if you do get to see it in our area. So that's how much of the sun will be covered.
So either way, and it's going to get a lot darker, right?
Even if it's behind the clouds. I guess. Yeah. I don't know how dark can be.
That's right. We'll see.
This will be an unusual situation where you got rain going on and an eclipse at the same time. So with that being said, the high is going to be 77. Winds out of the southeast, 10 to 15. Tomorrow, only a 20% chance of rain. It'll be cloudy and a high of 84 and a little more breezier. Temperatures in and around the area right now. Gulfport at 69, 67 in Covington, 72 in Houma Thibodaux, and balmy in 70 in both New Orleans and Baton Rouge. It's 5 after the hour on this Eclipse Monday.
Thank you.
blessed feast of the Solemnity of the Annunciation of the Lord, today's Gospel comes to us from Luke chapter 1. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Today's gospel recalls two stupendous events. One, the invitation to Mary to become the mother of God. And second, the moment when the Son of God assumed human nature. The angel Gabriel greeted Mary, "Hail," meaning rejoice, "Ave" in Latin, and not by her given name, which is unusual, but by the immaculate state of her soul, full of grace. This is a more accurate rendering of the Greek text than the weak, favored one in our translation. In using the perfect passive participle of the verb kairitō, grace, the angel identified Mary as entirely without sin. God protected her from any taint of sin so that she would be a fit vessel to bear the God-man. The devil could never boast that he ever had any claim over Jesus' mother. St. Augustine wrote, "Mary is filled with grace, and Eve is made clean from guilt. The curse of Eve is changed into the blessing of Mary." St. Jerome added, "It is well said that she was full of grace, because on others grace is bestowed partially, but the fullness of grace in its entirety was poured into Mary." Many ancient texts and St. Jerome's Vulgate have the angel adding, "Blessed art thou among women," which is omitted in our translation. When Mary asks, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" it would be absurd to assume that she was inquiring about the biology of conception. This question makes sense if she were determined to remain a virgin, which is the precise issue the angel addressed. This was the understanding of all the church fathers. Therefore, the angel explained the miraculous nature of the conception. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." She is properly called the Mother of God because, as all women know, Mary gave birth to a person, the divine Son of the Father. May we learn from her humility, obedience, and love. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
7-Eleven here on Wake Up on this Monday morning. So glad you could join us. And thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Father Chris. Right now, we want to share with you about a number of retreats in and around our listening area that you may want to attend. One in particular is a married couples retreat, Maintaining a Christ-Centered Relationship with Family. And that's going to be this Saturday, April 13th from 9 to 4 at St. Jude Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. It's also going to follow There's going to be a mass at 4 o'clock right after the retreat is over with, and all the couples will receive a blessing for their marriage. The presenters will be Chris and Becky Eldridge. The cost is only $25 for a couple to attend, and it sounds like a great event. Lunch, refreshments, and study materials will all be included with that price. For more info, go to ccmedia.live.
And today, women face new challenges amidst the busyness of life and the struggle to authentically hear God's voice. The Cynical on the Lake invites you to days of prayer that'll help us to listen to God with hearts that are open to being filled with peace. Boy, do we need that. Each of the talks are from 8:30 a.m. until 3 p.m. with Mass at noon, and there's a $30 registration, which includes coffee, muffins, and a boxed lunch. So on April 10th, there'll be Sister Kathy Scott will be putting on one. April 24th, Claire Gallagher will do it, and then on May 29th, Liz Reno. So for more information, go to ccmedia.live.
Awesome. Well, the Women of Manresa retreats are where a Jesuit priest will offer the spiritual exercises for women at the Cynical on the Lake Retreat Center in Metairie, Louisiana. The retreats will follow the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola and follow the same schedule and format of the retreats offered for the men. It will be a silent retreat from Thursday evening until Sunday midday and open to 64 women. These fill up very quickly, so to see a complete schedule, you can go to our website at ccmedia.live. There is a retreat taking place April 18th through the 21st, and then there's another one taking place June 3rd through the 6th. So take a look at those retreats, ccmedia.live.
All righty, and the Woman's New Life Clinic annual run walk is taking place this Saturday, April 13th at Lafayette Park in Metairie. There's still time to sign up. All the monies that are raised for the run or walk is to provide life-affirming care to women and unplanned pregnancies. So get out there. Hopefully it'll be a beautiful day to
do
it.
Yeah. Oh, this is a fun one here, y'all. Fran Yu's Dominus Project is hosting the creators of Lego Catechism.
Say what?
Yeah. Oh. Kevin and Mary O'Neill, and they're going to have it's an event for the whole family. They're going to talk about how they made their catechism books with the Legos and stuff. They're going to judge a Lego building competition for kids. It's free, but registration is required. Once again, go to ccmedia.live. For more details. Have you seen those Lego catechism books?
Yes, they're
really cute.
We interviewed. We talked to them on Wake Up a while back.
Yeah, really cute. What a great idea.
I thought was odd, but it works.
They're coming.
Yeah.
We're coming.
It does.
So looking forward to this.
All right. We're coming back, as a matter of fact. It's 15 after the hour. Alan Migliorato's coming up next, talking about why kids are skipping school.
Uh-oh.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April the 8th. Today we celebrate St. Julie Billiard. 2 decades of paralysis didn't stop today's saint from following in the footsteps of Jesus. Born in France in 1751, Marie-Rose Julie Billiard loved learning about her faith and serving as a catechist. As a young woman, she witnessed an attempt to wound or kill her father. The experience so frightened her, it left her unable to walk. For the next 2 decades, she continued to teach catechism lessons from her bed and also offered spiritual advice to visitors. When the French Revolution broke out, Julie was at risk because of her allegiance to fugitive priests. She was smuggled out of her hometown and spent years on the move and in hiding. Around this time, Julie had a vision in which she saw Calvary surrounded by women in religious habits. Later, she met another woman who shared her interest in teaching the faith. In 1803, the two began the Institute of Notre Dame de Namur, initially dedicated to educating the poor and training catechists. The following year, Julie was able to walk for the first time in 22 years. She died in 1816 and was canonized in 1969. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Welcome back to Wake Up on this Monday morning, April 8th, and it is almost 19 after the hour. With us now, our regular Monday guest, Alan Migliorato, co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today, and a topic that's been brewing, it seems, all across the country. Kids, teenagers in particular, are skipping school, and a lot of parents aren't understanding why, and we're going to try to address that today. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, good morning, guys. So, Damien, have you ever skipped school?
Never did, ever, in my life.
No.
Not even college. I never skipped a class.
I've never.
Guilty.
I'm a rule follower, so that would literally paralyze me.
I love school so much. I love school so much. I said, why would I skip it?
That's just interesting, though. When you brought up that topic,
pulling your leg. But I mean, my mom and dad, I'd never hear the end of it if they caught me skipping school. So no.
So I definitely skipped school, but I want to share this with you. Like, I'm not a rule follower. I never have been. But, like, I remember, like, skipping school, and I got caught by my dad. I was actually drag racing somebody, and my dad was coming around the corner the other way.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and, like, I just saw my dad's car. Like, I never saw a car turn around so fast in my life. He, like, created the Tokyo Drift. He almost beat me home. Like, it was like he was there when I arrived. He, like, descended somehow. But I remember, like, seeing him, like, and I actually remember standing outside of my car with my keys, holding him outside and just waiting for him to take my car away, which he did. And I deserved it. But I think, and not that it's okay, it's not okay to skip school, but I don't think that we're talking about somebody who just needs a day, right? And somebody who just made a bad decision.
That's
about chronic truancy, right? Where somebody's not going to school for a reason. And I think that as parents, it's so important for us to find out that reason. Like, it's not that we have to sit down and kumbaya around a campfire, but we do need to figure out, look, hey, what's going on? You know, why'd you miss school? My mom told me when she found out I skipped school, and that was not the only time, by the way, I skipped school, but I wasn't like chronic. Like, I would go play pool or I would go to the beach or something, but it wasn't like, you know, it was stupid. My mom was like, all your friends are at school. Why would you not want to be at school? Mm. And it made sense to me. It's like, okay, well, my friends are there. But reasons that kids skip school today chronically are really kind of important to know. And a lot of them are stress and anxiety. They could be being bullied at school, right? They could have a lot of depression that's happening in their lives. They may need to talk to somebody. It also can be substance abuse. So there's good reasons those are not good reasons to skip school, but there's a good reason to find out why our kids are skipping school. And a lot of times it's sitting down with them and having that conversation going, dude, what is going on? Like, why you've missed 15 days, you know, this year, like, what's going on with you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, you're not going to graduate, you know, and you're going to be held back. If you don't like school now, how's another year feel? You know, and like, find out what's going on. That may need some counseling. They may need some therapy. They just may need to talk to a counselor. And really, any kind of crisis, and this is a horrible way to put it, but any kind of crisis is a wonderful opportunity for us to sit down and say, okay, I let this go too long. I haven't been aware of it, but I need to know what's going on.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you don't know your kids are skipping school until you get that letter from the school. And hopefully you're getting the letter, you know, because a lot of schools today don't even know. You know, we had a retreat the other day, and some high school girl showed up, and she's like, "Hey, I'm here to help." I'm like, "Oh, why aren't you at school?" She goes, "Oh, I don't need to be there." I'm like, "Dude,
wow.
You got to get to school. Like, I'm glad you want to come help at the retreat, but you got to get to school." She's like, "Oh no, I'm doing straight A's. I can miss a day." I'm like, "Does your mom know?" She's like, "Yeah, she knows." And I'm like, "All right, I'm gonna check with her just to make sure."
Yeah.
Her mom knew. Her mom did know, but she was like, "No, she's fine. They're just doing like a field day or something today." So, but I was like, I had no idea, and I was like, "What are you doing here?" Like,
yeah,
God
sure.
bless you for wanting to help out, but like, just get, you know, you got to get school done. You got to get school done.
And one of the main reasons, according to a recent study by the National Center of Educational Statistics, 20%, which I was amazed, 20% of students don't go to school or miss school a lot because they're being bullied. And a lot of that stems from their social media situation. And they get bullied online, and then when they get to school, they get it face-to-face. And how do you combat that?
Well, we got to call it what it is, and I hate to say the phone's the devil all the time, because there's a lot of good things that can happen with technology, but one of the things that I see a lot is that kids don't know how to interact face-to-face that well, because they're always interacting, you know, with social media. So, like, if you need time away, you just, you know, you ghost somebody, or you know, you're off that account, or you know, you can respond, and you have this electronic courage, and you have all these things that you can say online, but face-to-face, they just don't know how to interact. So really, like, a good thing for parents to do is to encourage, right? Hey, we're going to go, you know, we're going to go do something social together. Let's go find a way to serve at a sharing center, or let's go help feed the homeless. But get them where their phones are in their pockets, or away in the car, or in the other room, or at home. And when you guys are interacting face-to-face, because that more face-to-face interaction, the better they're gonna be in the real world. And believe it or not, like, as much as we'd like to believe that, you know, you don't have to interact face-to-face, you kind of do in just about everything that you do. Whether it's buying something at a grocery store, and yeah, you can have it delivered through Amazon or whatever, but eventually you're going to have to speak to somebody. And so it's good to know how to look somebody in the eye, and it builds confidence in teens, you know, and stand your ground, like be proud of who you are, and be proud of being, you know, a child of God, and share that with everybody.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, another reason is a lot of them say they don't have any friends, and nobody wants to sit by them at lunch, and mm-hmm. even hang. They can't even get picked on a team in gym, so they feel, you know, slighted and as an outcast. And I think it's important for teachers to recognize that, to try to find ways to include them.
Yeah, being included in things is very important. You know, I remember being in high school and you know, and the kid, I was one of the kids where I would, like, if somebody wasn't getting picked, I'd kind of go get them and bring them on my team either way.
There you go.
You know, and it just didn't matter what everybody thought. But not everybody does that, you know, and I understand, mm-hmm. like, everybody's kind of worried about what everyone else thinks. It was not really my thing to worry about what other people think. But I get it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a hard thing for kids to fit in. So anything that you can do, and if you have teenagers listening right now, today at lunch, or, you know, or tomorrow, if you see someone sitting by themselves at lunch and you've never talked to them, or even if everyone thinks they're weird, just say, hey, man, good morning, or hey, good afternoon, or whatever. Hey, man, how you doing? You know, yeah. How's it going? Sure. Just something, mm-hmm. just a little greeting can go a long way. I've got so many stories about stuff like that, but, like, that's important to people, to feel included, just to have a warm welcome. And that's great for us to do, and parents can encourage their teens to do those kinds of things.
Yeah, and it's important, huh, mm-hmm. Alan, to catch this early, as you said, because if you don't, you're suddenly going to be dealing with a teenager who's not only skipping school, but then what are they doing with their free time? And that's when trouble usually arises, whether it's vandalism, drug use, things of that nature. Definitely won't graduate.
Yeah, the idle hands is the devil's playground, as they say. So we got to make sure that we're not just keeping busy, but being productive, you know, and fruitful. So, yeah, we're not talking about somebody who made a bad decision and went to the movies with their friend one day. That also needs to be corrected, but it's not as much of an extreme as someone who's chronically skipping school, you know. We had a couple of teams that were 20 days last year, you know, that they weren't at school.
20 days?
Yeah, 20 days. And it's like, what's going on? It turns out, you know, they did have some depression and some anxiety going on. One kid was like, vaping a lot, and, like, kind of got into doing weed. So, like, there's all kinds of reasons where we need to sit down and talk to these kids. And these are teams that, you know, I've known since, you know, they were in first grade, second grade, and you just see them kind of growing up, and you can see them taking a wrong turn. And, you know, as a shepherd, we try to adjust. Of course, we're not the primary catechist, that's the parent, mm-hmm. but helping those parents be, you know, understand and educate them on here's how you can be very effective as parenting, and you've got to start that dialogue with your kids somewhere. That's an important part, too.
Yeah.
And of course, mm-hmm. live by example.
Of course. Yeah. Now, truancy, it's not like it hasn't existed, but it's just come to the forefront because it's double-digit numbers now for teens.
That.
And that's what's scary. And how do we go about preventing it? You said sit down, but what about one-on-one with the teen if you find out? What's some good advice for a parent? How do you get that kid to say, you know, you're right versus, yeah, mom, yeah, dad, goes in one ear and out the other, and they're still doing it?
Well, and this is my stock answer for that is really, like, are the parents not going to work because they don't feel like going to work someday and the kids are seeing it? You know, I mean, and that's not always the case. Sometimes you have really hardworking parents, and sometimes they're so busy they don't see what's going on with their kids. Uh-huh. So we got to prioritize as parents and say, hey, I haven't checked in with my kid for a while. Like, I think that he's, because they're self-sufficient, they're in high school now, we need to let them be on their own.
Yeah.
This is the time where they're going to make some mistakes, and we're still there to help correct them. You know, it's before it's too late. It's before they're off at college. So we're really kind of just going, yeah, that one-on-one, go out to dinner, you know, just you two on a drive somewhere. Hey, you go get ice cream. Hey, you know, I wanted to ask you a question about, like, missing school. Have you ever skipped school? I'm not going to be mad at you right now. I just want to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of did a couple times, you know. And my older daughter, I had no idea she skipped school, you know. And she skipped school, like, two or three times her senior year. And, like, she laughs about it now, and I'm still mad at her. I'm like, what's the matter with you? Like, what do you mean you skipped school? What'd you do? She said, I went to the beach with my friends, and I'm like, Angela, what is wrong with you? You know, she's like, Dad, I'm 27. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah, time to get over it, Dad.
I'm like, you're grounded. Somehow you're grounded. I'm taking
you're grounded.
I want to go to a condo and, like, steal a candle. And go there. You're not getting this candle.
All righty. Alan Migliorato, thank you, as always, for being with us on Monday morning. We'll talk to you next Monday. If you want more advice, go to AdventureCatholic.com. Dr. Tina Holland from FRANU is up next.
Thirty-five past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. And right now we have Dr. Tina Holland, president of Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University in Baton Rouge, or FRANU as we like to call it. Good morning, Dr. Tina.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am doing great on this Feast of the Annunciation. I was about to say Ascension. My A is getting mixed up. But this is an important feast for us at Catholic Community Media because she's our patron. And St. Mm-hmm. Gabriel is one of our patrons because we annunciate. That's what we do here. So anyway, and you're a part of it. So tell us, what is the latest going on at FRANU?
Well, there's a ton going on, and we don't have enough time to say everything that's related. But I will tell you that one of the areas of tremendous importance that I think is, you know, where we've been spending a lot of time, and I think it's relevant to a lot of our listeners, is this whole mess with the FAFSA.
Yeah.
It's that, you know, federal aid, federal financial aid administration mm-hmm. that has been held up for much longer than ever expected, though I suppose we ought to expect the unexpected these days.
Well, it is the federal government, isn't it? Yes.
Yes. And, you know, a lot of institutions have just sort of sat on their hands and said, and rightfully so, I mm-hmm. think, you know, hey, look, government screwed this up. There's not much we can do. But, you know, in typical Franciscan way, we are creatively resourceful and trying to do everything we can to serve our students. And it's really, I'm really impressed with what our financial aid folks are doing for families and students who may or may not actually have any interest in attending FRANU, mm-hmm. but they're part of the community, and it's our mission to serve those in the community. And so that's where we're spending a lot of time, and is in addressing some of the challenges that families are facing with so much ambiguity and uncertainty having to do with their financial aid packages.
I know there's some incredible delays due to the bureaucracy, and how are you handling that? I mean, because they want to attend, the money's not there for them because of these delays. What are y'all doing on that end?
Well, I'll tell you that, you know, the typical National College Decision Day, as they call it, is May 1st. So one of the things that we're doing is we are not just postponing our deadline for the students to make a deposit to ensure their spot. Mm-hmm. We have pretty much just gotten rid of that deadline and said, however long it's going to take you to figure this out, you'll get it figured out.
Wow.
Now, most institutions have pushed it back to May 15th or to June 1st, but to ensure that our students and families have enough time to make an informed college decision, we're prepared to work with a student clear on up to, you know, the start of classes in August, if
that's
what it takes.
Wow.
And, you know, registration begins, we've pushed that till April 15th, and we expect that we will have financial aid packages, you know, ready to be issued this week, actually.
Oh, okay.
That's when we're beginning to package it, but there's still some inaccuracies in the reports that students are getting back from the federal government, due to some glitches, but we are trying to get it. We're actually in front of that, to be proactive with some of these significant errors. And we're also just, you know, going into the high schools and any high school that asks us to come in and talk to their seniors and their families to help them to navigate some of the new challenges with the FAFSA.
My goodness.
Dr. Tina, I think the big issue was the forms were supposed to be easier and more simple to fill out, and instead it created nightmares for parents, correct?
That's what I read.
It has. Though I have to say, once they do get the glitches fixed, it should be overall a better process. I expect that it should be. But what it should be and what it is, you know, should the twain ever meet, I don't know.
Well, at least you're gearing up and you're getting ready for that, so that when it does come through, you'll be all set. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay.
Right. There's nothing to be gained by just sitting here and complaining about the reality.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to do is help the families to navigate this and to get use whatever data we have with regard to families' needs, and make sure that they're able to afford their choice of college, and help them to make informed choices so that they don't get themselves into, you know, irreparable debt or really overly challenging debt. And, you know, it's we're way behind in Louisiana, about almost 30%. Behind where we were last year in FAFSA submissions. So we are, you know, really, really pushing students to get that done. In fact, we had a an accepted students day on Saturday where we were even up to then, students were already accepted, and we're still working with them to help them get their FAFSA filed.
My goodness. Wow. It's something, Damien, as you're saying, is supposed to be simpler. It turns out to be just a mess.
Only 20% of the forms have been filed this year compared to 2 years ago.
My goodness.
Yeah, 3.1 million FAFSA forms have been filed, where it was 17.1 million in a couple of years back.
Well, what a mess.
But we are having, we're actually going to be having a FAFSA filing workshop on our campus. On Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, Tuesday the 16th, and it'll be from 4 to 6:30.
Okay.
All are welcome.
Great.
We have tremendous expertise here. Our financial aid director and our VP for enrollment management will be on hand to help, as well as all of our staff. Everybody is cross-trained in helping students and families to be able to complete all of the necessary paperwork.
Okay.
So we are here to help. And again, you don't have to be an applicant to FRANU to come to the workshop. It's really for anybody that has a need for some assistance in navigating the paperwork.
Okay, that's a week from today, tomorrow. It's next.
Yes.
Not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. And what time of day would that be?
That's from 4 to 6:30.
4 to 6:30. Okay. Okay. That is good to know. We will make a note of posting that ourselves, because that is very important. Dr. Tina, I was about to talk to you about Sim Week that's coming up and asking you what that was, but golly, we have Well, we have all of 45 seconds.
Yeah. Right.
Go.
Oh, that's STEM week is another week where people are going to see what is in the very forefront of technology when it comes to preparing for the clinical professions.
Okay.
And we are definitely at the forefront when it comes to simulated education. Wow. STEM Week will be a time for everybody to experience that here on campus.
Working through simulation for healthcare.
Cool.
That's amazing. And I know I certainly appreciate that. Somebody trying it out another way first, you know. So
better on the mannequin than on you.
Indeed. Well, thank you, Dr. Tina, once again for joining us. We look forward to talking to you again. We're going to pray for you, and we will make sure we get that information about that workshop coming up.
All right. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Tina. I do love that about
accommodating.
Yes, I love that about Fran U. They're always kind of a step ahead of things, you know. And it's always a very, very charitable. Because it's all about the faith. You know, yeah. Dr. Tina will inevitably bring in, you know, the faith life. That's what comes first for them.
Under the guise of St. Francis.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's one of the more affordable private/Catholic universities.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about a book, Jelly Bean, A Baby's Journey to God. Gabby will be doing that interview. It's 45 past the hour. On Wake Up.
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. Make sure that you are wearing your proper eyewear. If you are fortunate enough to watch today's eclipse and be a part of the exciting day, I don't know where you can find them. I know the public libraries have had them, hardware stores, Walmart's had them. So take a look at where you can find those as well. It's an exciting day today. If it's going to be cloudy, hey, you still get to participate in such a cool day.
It is cool.
Even if you can't see it. So still cool. Theoni Bell joins us. She is a co-author of the book Jelly Bean, A Baby's Journey to God. Theoni has inspired and helped so many families and couples heal during a tragic loss of losing a child through her book Jelly Bean. And today she is going to be telling us all about it. Theoni, thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. Thanks for having me on.
Well, first of all, I love the illustrations in this book. Just taking a look at the pictures really just tells the story of what this family is going through in the book Jelly Bean. So take us through it, and what was your inspiration behind it?
Yeah, so Jelly Bean started as the story of my daughter, who I lost at 27 weeks gestation. So she was stillborn in 2020. And I had a lot of blood loss, so I was in the hospital for 5 days as well. And my husband and my daughter brought me a suitcase full of things, and there was this journal inside that they had thought I would probably want to write my feelings down. So that's where the story started, because all I could write about was this baby that I was missing. Mm. And try to hold on to her in some way. So I began to tell her life story. The only way to do that is through sounds and sensations that she might experience in the womb. So there's a page in the book where she hears her brother rumbling his play cars, and her sister and her dad doing the voices of little figurines, and she obviously loves mom's voice, and there's scenes of her interacting with that voice. But eventually she hears a new voice, sweeter than all the rest, just calling her to it. That was the hardest voice to describe in the book. It's the voice of Our Lady, and Our Lady is explaining that she's going to go to heaven soon and meet her heavenly father and meet her son, Jesus. And then she goes to heaven and meets other children up there and learns that she's not disconnected from her family on earth, but she has a mission to pray for them and get them all to heaven so they can be together again.
My goodness. Mm. Well, very powerful. I mean, how was that, writing something like that? Was it healing for you? I can't imagine putting those into words, let alone having to kind of relive that. But maybe it was a healing process for you.
Yes, it really was. I have another novel with Tan, and I do a lot of writing, and that's just my way of processing anything in life. But I just feel so blessed, because a lot of times when we're processing things in life, and we can just kind of get bogged down in writing about our own emotions and just be hyper focused on ourselves. And when I converted to Catholicism, I began writing for a purpose. And so I try to turn all of those feelings into words that will help others. And so this project has really been special to me in that way, because Jelly Bean was my daughter. That was my daughter's story. But somewhere along the way, I realized it's a story for a lot of other families.
So if those who are watching and viewing right now on our streams or on TV will see the cover of the book Jelly Bean, and just that cover is really moving and powerful. Talk about the illustrations in the book. Those just itself speak volumes.
I really have to give credit to my illustrator. Her name is Bernadette Gakowski, and it's really a grace how she came into this project with me. I wrote Jelly Bean. I spent like 3 years trying to find a publisher, and I needed an illustrator, and I remembered that Bernadette had done outreach to women who had or families who had lost babies. She had painted hundreds of these memorials. They were different flowers with calligraphy names underneath them. And when I lost Sloan, someone told me about her, and Sloan was my stillborn. Then I realized I had three others I lost, so I reached out and said, I'm so sorry, but it just feels wrong to not have the three others. And she just happily did that, and she was doing all of that on donations. So I reached out to her and said, I really think you'd be interested in this, and she jumped on right away.
Oh my goodness. I think this book can be so powerful and healing for families and couples who are experiencing loss, who have experienced loss. Talk about how your book has really helped those couples kind of navigate this part of their life, and also for the families involved, children involved, siblings, to kind of understand what's going on.
Yeah, every kid, I think just like parents, we process in our own ways, and we have questions, and we have you know, longings to be close to this child, but our children, our surviving children, have the same things. And so when I looked at how my three children who are here with me, how they dealt with it, you know, one wanted to ask questions all the time, just the same questions over and over, and she always wanted to talk about it. She would tell strangers about it, and then I had another child who didn't want to talk about it at all, and it crushed her. That's my oldest, who really, you know, she's really drawn to babies and children and really feels that instinct to care for others. So this was very hard for her, and I realized as I kept meeting other women who had lost babies, I just was like, I have to share this poem, which is what it was at the time, this poem with them. And they began to say, you know, that made me cry. I'm so happy you've written this, because I never get to talk about my feelings. And I just began to realize that it would be healing. It's a way to explain it to children. It's a way for moms to visualize, for children, dads to visualize what has happened in their life through a Catholic perspective, which is what I hope that we can find a way to draw like our strength and our healing from, and hope. At the end of the day, this book is about having hope, reaching. I never felt more compelled to get to heaven than after I really embraced this idea that my children are there and praying for me, and there's nothing else I can do for them now but become the best person I can and reunite all of us, you know.
Perfect. Yeah. No. And in your book explains that TheoneBell.com is where you can go and purchase your own copy. Theone, thank you so much today for joining us to talk about your book, Jelly Bean, A Baby's Journey to God. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a nice day, everyone.
Thank you.
God bless.
You too.
I'm glad there's books out there like that, though. Helping families because, they're very much needed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Eclipse Monday. Gear up. Get ready. Yeah. Hopefully you'll get to see it. If not, we're going to say a prayer anyway in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Julie, through your great devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you were miraculously cured and favored by many graces. By your powerful intercession, obtain for us above all great trust in God in all difficulties in life, the strength to accomplish in all things the precious will of God, and the special grace we now humbly ask for from you. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Claire Willis joins us from Catholic Schools in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Don Moore, Catholic businessman, will talk about his conversion to the Catholic faith in our Conversion Corner segment. Thank you so much to Jeff Blackwell, our audio director, and Karen Cotton, our video technical director. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.